This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Years ago, someone asked me what book of the Bible is pretty critical of God's people, and my first answer was the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah has more critical things to say about God's people than anything else I know in the Bible. And yet, right in the middle of this book, in chapter 31, God is quoted as saying this, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness." The God of judgment is also the God of love, everlasting love. Let's talk about that all this week on Cross Hope. We begin with part one today from Jeremiah 31. I love pieces of writing, regardless if they're secular or spiritual, if they're funny, they're good, and worth sharing. Robert Fulghum's an author. Some of you have read his stuff. He's written a number of books. But in the book, Things I Wish I Had Written, this is one of my favorite things he wrote. It's an actual ad, a personal ad. Don't raise your hand, but some of you have looked at those personal ads to see who's out there. Here's what the actual wording of the ad said. Loser seeks mate. Loser seeks mate. Lazy, spoiled, insensitive, irresponsible, insecure, desperate, single, white male. I hate art, I hate travel, I hate reading, and I hate exercise. I like tuna noodle casseroles, miniature golf, and tattoos. I love sitting, sleeping, drinking beer, and watching TV. You must be a single female, a former cheerleader with amnesia. You must earn $100,000 a year from a trust fund and would enjoy romantic evenings doing my laundry and cleaning my house. Would you believe that three women in the first service asked for his address? I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. That's desperate. A.W. Tozer, in his book, Seven Rules for Self-Discovery, says that you are known and I am known for seven things. And I think he's right. You may want to jot these down. Seven things that describe you as a man or describe you as a woman. They tell what kind of person you are. Number one, you are known by what you want the most in life. Let me repeat that. You're known by what you want most in life. Number two, you are known by what you think about most in life. What is it when your mind goes to neutral? Free will thinking is what I call it. What do you think about? What do you think about the most in life? That's a defining marker in who you are. Three, you're known by how you use your money. Four, what you do with your leisure time. Five, the company you enjoy. Six, whom and what we admire says a lot about us. Whom and what we admire. And then seven, what we laugh at. What is it that we laugh at describes us as a person? I want to add an eighth one to Tozer's list, and it's this. You are known, and I am known, by what and whom you love, and by who loves you. You are known by what and whom you love, and who loves you, and it's defining. It's defining in your life who loves you. Today, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that I described in the first two services this way. They're obviously a lot of Scripture that's informational. It's teaching. It's just simply information, spiritual information being shared. There's other material in Scripture that's inspirational and spiritually uplifting. But I think there are some Scriptures that are emotionally and psychologically beneficial, that when you hear them, you are blessed emotionally. When you hear them, you're blessed even psychologically. Today is one of those Scriptures that I'm going to read from the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, that says that you and I are loved with an everlasting love. We'll talk about what that means. I don't know the last time you told someone you love them, but I don't think you and I have ever told someone, I love you with an everlasting love. Why? Because we're not everlasting, but God is. That's what we talk about all this week from Jeremiah 31, God saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. This is part two today on Cross Hope. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O Virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. And then verse 9, they will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble. I want to start with verse 3 again, if we could bring that up. I love this phrase, the Lord appeared to us in the past. I'm not trying to be mystical. I'm not trying to be otherworldly. I'm not trying to overplay this. But I really believe there is a sense in which the Lord appears to us in ways that we take for granted every day. You just shared in communion service, I personally believe that there is an appearance of the Lord in the Lord's Supper, not in some apparition. I don't mean that at all. There's an appearance of Christ in this, that Jesus said, every time you eat the bread, every time you drink the cup, you proclaim my death until I come. Something happens, get this, in communion that doesn't happen in any other time of the service. The Bible doesn't say when the minister gets up and speaks, then you proclaim my death. No, he doesn't say it in worship, as important as that is. It's when we take the cup and we take the bread. And now I'm going to say something that you may not like to hear, but I really believe this. If that's true about the Lord's Supper being a time that we're drawn to the Lord, I personally believe that Satan wants you to not partake of communion week after week, month after month, year after year. If it is what the Bible says it is, a proclamation to ourselves and to the world and even to Satan that we belong to Jesus Christ, then certainly he doesn't want us to do it. How else does the Lord appear to us? I think every time you open up the Word of God, there is an appearance of the Lord. If the Holy Spirit wrote this book and guided the writing of it, it makes sense to me that every time I open the book and read it, even privately, there's a manifestation of the Spirit of God in my life because I'm reading His Word. Some of you have never heard what I'm going to tell you the third way that Jesus appears to us. He appears to us through unlikely people. Do you remember the passage in the Gospels where Jesus said, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. I was sick and you didn't minister to me. And the rhetorical question to Jesus was, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison? And Jesus says this, I will say to them, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. I want to suggest to you that Jesus sometimes appears to you in the people that ask you for help. Always? No, not always, but sometimes. That sometimes he comes to you through a child. He comes to you through a sick person. He comes through somebody elderly that needs your help. And as you minister to people, Jesus said, inasmuch that you do this to the least of these people, you just did it for me. So I love that verse. That verse has greater significance. Verse 3, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Well, I want to talk about that tomorrow, the significance of a love that's everlasting, a love that you and I don't have the capability of showing. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. To listen to this message or any other message you may have missed on CrossHope. God bless you. There's no husband in this room that can say he loves his wife with an everlasting love. Why? Because he's not everlasting. There's no woman in this room that can say, oh, I just love my husband with an everlasting love. She's not everlasting. It takes an everlasting God to show an everlasting love. I don't know how many weddings I've had, and I'm not being facetious, so don't anybody think I'm making fun of anything, where I've had weddings where somebody at the wedding sings, I will love you forever and beyond forever. And beyond next Tuesday and forever, you know, the songs that are sung at weddings, and 2 years later, they're divorced. Maybe three. We say we're going to love somebody forever, but only God can say, I have loved you with an everlasting love because he's everlasting. And he can back it up by who and what he is. And then what does it mean in verse 3? I have drawn you with loving kindness. The way we win people to the Lord and the way we draw people to Christ is not through statements about judgment, even though that's what the Bible does, and telling people how bad they are and how wicked they are. We draw people through love because that's how God draws people. I have drawn you with loving kindness. You will not find a more judgmental book in the Bible than Jeremiah. A book that's rife, full of judgmental statements where God pronounces judgment on his people for their disobedience and rebellion and idolatry. And yet, it's the same book that says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with kindness. Roy Blount grew up in Georgia. He's an author. He wrote a book called Be Sweet, an interesting title, a conditional love story, talking about his life. And in his book, he talks about his mother. And he bought the fear of his mother, that his mother was fearful about everything. We can't go there because this might happen. Well, Roy, in high school, she would say, if you do this, this could happen, so you can't do that. Well, if you go with him or with her to this place, this might happen. And he said his whole life memory of his mother was her fear of everything. And he resented it. It bothered him that he couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't do anything. The family couldn't do anything or go anywhere because of her fear. And then he said it wasn't until he was an adult he found out the reason that his mother had so much fear is that she was abandoned as a child. He found out she was abused as a child, that she suffered greatly as a child. And so what she carried into her life as an adult and even as a grandmother was her fear of everything. You see, Roy Blount's mother was drawn to fear, and so therefore she was attracted to fear. That's all she knew. And isn't it interesting? The Lord says, I have drawn you with love. The Lord wants to draw you out of fear. He wants to draw you out of bondage. He wants to draw you out of guilt, of sin that you've confessed to the Lord, but you still feel guilty about it. He wants to draw you all out of that and draw you with love. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness. Years ago, Psychology Today magazine had a story on what causes depression in children. Three great causes of depression in children. And I was shocked, I mean absolutely shocked, that one that I thought would be mentioned in the top three was not mentioned. You know, what wasn't in there that I thought would be the death of a parent. And that's got to be traumatic for a child to lose a parent. And yet that didn't even make the top three. The top three things that cause depression in children, number one was family violence, to grow up in a home where violence was a part of life. And that was the number one cause of depression in children. Number two was the mental illness of a parent, the second greatest cause of depression in children. And number three was parental divorce. The third leading cause of depression in children was parental divorce. The top three things that cause depression in children, number one was family violence, to grow up in a home where violence was a part of life. And that was the number one cause of depression in children. Number two was the mental illness of a parent, the second greatest cause of depression in children. And number three was parental divorce. The third leading cause of depression in children was parental divorce. What I'm saying is this, we're affected by our past. You are affected by your past, and some of you are still haunted. You're still bothered. You're still dealing with the past. And all I want to share with you is this, that today I've got news for you. There is somebody who loves you with an everlasting love, who wants to draw you with his kindness, and it's the Lord God Almighty. It's not a guru sitting on top of a mountain. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who gave his life on a cross, who said, I love you with that kind of love. And that's good news for somebody. Warren Wiersbe for years was a minister in Covington, Kentucky, just across the river from Cincinnati. Warren Wiersbe wrote one of the most powerful statements, in my opinion, when he said this, nothing is harder to heal than a broken heart shattered by experiences that seem so meaningless. Listen to that again. Nothing is harder to heal than a broken heart shattered by experiences that seem so meaningless. Things that cause death and destruction and depression in people. And you say, why are you mentioning that? Because what is it that gives some meaning to everything that happens in life if it's not the love of God? I don't cling to philosophy in a time of tragedy, and neither do you. People don't turn to their bank accounts and say, this is where we get our comfort in this tragedy today, in our bank account. People don't turn to science. People don't turn to some great writer. We turn to the Lord who says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I've drawn you with loving kindness. I want to just cover verse 9 just very briefly before we close. Verse 9 says, they will come with weeping, and I will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble. They will come with weeping. I don't want to read too much into this, but I'm convinced that when the Lord is working in a man or woman's heart, sometimes there is an emotion felt that's not felt in any other time. Pay attention when you feel a lump in your throat. Pay attention when a tear comes to your eye. Pay attention when you're listening to the Word of God and something, conviction, something wells up in you you've never felt before. When you're taking communion and you're worshiping the Lord and you feel something you've never felt before, it reminds me of verse 9. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. Every Sunday, I'm preaching to people who need to come back to the Father. They don't need to come back to church. They need to come back to the Father, like the prodigal son or daughter. Every Sunday, I'm talking to somebody who needs to come back home, not to a church necessarily, but to the Lord himself. And that involves his church as a part of it, I believe. I will lead them beside streams of water. What does that mean? Water always stands for blessing and provision. And the Lord wants to bless. He wants to provide. I really believe that. But more than just things, he wants to provide relief from guilt. He wants to provide release from bondage of bitterness. He wants to release people from their resentments. Streams of water, meaning life and health. Well, I mean it when I say I hope you will hear the last part of this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. This is a life-changing passage. It really is. For a man who's never felt loved, a woman who's never felt loved, a young person who's never really felt loved in life, to be told that the Lord God Almighty says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, that's pretty powerful in your life. Tune in tomorrow to Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. Some of you know this, that when I was 10 years old, I don't think anybody would do this here, but when I was 10 years old, I started delivering papers, 4 papers a day, 2 in the morning and 2 in the evening. Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times in the morning, Chicago American, the Chicago Daily News in the afternoon. I had to get up at 5:15 every morning at 10 years of age, and I would deliver my papers, and then I would go hang out at a truck stop and drink coffee with truck drivers. I was 10 years old. How many of you would want your 10-year-old son to do that today? But my parents let me do it. I can't believe it to this day. You know, I could have turned out to be somebody if they hadn't let me hang out at a truck stop when I was 10, but that's be that as it may. Years ago, Chicago Tribune, one of the papers I delivered, had an article called The Most Important Photos of the Decade. And they took what they felt were the most important photographs their photographers took for a whole 10-year period, and one of the photographers showed a Chicago fireman carrying the lifeless body of a child out of a burning building. What intrigued me about the picture was not the picture, even though it was gut-wrenching to see it, was the story behind the picture. Here's what happened. A woman lived in that house, young mother, with 5 small children. The fire department surmised after the fire, all 6 of them died from smoke inhalation. They found them huddled together in the kitchen, almost like in a football huddle. And the firemen supposed that this is what happened, talking to the neighbors about this woman's great love for her 5 children, that she probably was at a crisis point during the fire where she could not make up her mind which children to take out of the house and come back for the others. Rather than take some of the children out, they surmised that they simply huddled together, hoping against hope that someone would rescue them. All 6 of them died, as I mentioned, from smoke inhalation. One of the firemen was quoted in the Chicago Tribune later saying, "Don't criticize this woman and say she was stupid, that she could have saved 2 or maybe 3 of her children. She was motivated out of love in what she did." She was motivated out of love in what she did. Why do I tell that story? Think about that mother's love for 5 children. Multiply that 1,000 times, and you still haven't begun to capture the love of God that's conveyed in Jeremiah 31:3. For I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I'm not calling you to the Lord so the Lord can beat you up every week with a sermon and just punish you for your sins, and then you go out and sin and then just get beat up the next Sunday. That's not what it's all about. We're calling you to the one who loves you, get this, more than you love yourself, which is pretty big for some people. God loves you more than you love yourself. And he loves you more than any earthly parent could ever care for you. He loves you more than any child could ever love you. And that's what we call people to believe in and to trust in. Why? Because we're drawn by love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. Love will do in your life what judgment will never do. Give you hope and give you release from guilt and give you release from bondage of bitterness and resentment. And only the love of God can do that. That's the only thing I know that can do it. Remember that today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. And thank you for this message of love today from Jeremiah 31. Lord, if there are people in this service who need to respond to that love today, that's what this is all about. That's why we're here, having people respond to your love, whether it's need for prayer, whether it's to confess their faith in you, to obey you in baptism, whatever the needs are. That's why we're here. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.